It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week, for our regular segment with Green Party co-leader James Shaw, I asked James about the Zero Carbon Submissions Report and what the general submission consensus was. We also talked about Mental Health Awareness Week, which is this week, and why it is so important. I began by asking James what the 15,000 submissions made about the Zero Carbon Bill showed.
Sure. Well, it was a massive response. We don't normally get anywhere near that kind of response for another piece of legislation. And it also had a very clear steer in terms of the weight of opinion within those submissions towards, you know, some of the outcomes in terms of the target, the design of the Independent Climate Commission and those sort of things.
Why is it important that the majority of the submissions are wanting to do everything New Zealand can to reduce greenhouse gas emissions?
Yeah, well, and can I just say, it's not just those submissions as well, right? Because, you know, obviously the submissions process is not representative of the public at large. But what's really interesting is that in this case, we'd also done during the course of the year, there were about three different sets of opinion polling that came out, which is representative. And the results of the submissions are quite highly aligned with, that opinion polling as well. And what that does, I guess it gives us a sense that the New Zealand public kind of is ambitious. They want New Zealand to do its part. What's really interesting is that in one of the opinion polls, it said that actually New Zealand, you know, we should do everything we can to reduce our emissions and to lead on this, even if other countries don't. And also, the sort of sense that, you know, we have to do what we can to stop climate change, even though actually a lot of people have also got the sense that the rest of the world isn't moving as fast as it should. So, you know, quite clearly Kiwis want to do the right thing. And that's kind of, you know, what those submissions told us.
Just talking a little bit about, how we should move forward even if other countries don't. Do you think some people potentially who haven't made a submission or haven't put an opinion on the issue could think, well, what's the point? We're so little. Are we going to make any sort of difference at all?
I do. We hear that a lot. And actually, you know, kind of to a point, that's correct, actually. You know, like New Zealand accounts for under 1% of total global emissions. And if we were the only country doing anything about it, we wouldn't stop it, right, by ourselves. But my rejoinder to that is always, well, that if you add up all of the countries who, like us, emit less than 1% of the global total each, then together we add up to a third, right, which is more than China, more than the United States, more than the European Union, more than India. And so what that illustrates is that small countries acting together can actually make a difference.
It's sort of a similar concept to why should I vote if it doesn't, I'm just one person, it doesn't matter. Well, it's a similar
thing. Precisely. Yeah, exactly.
So you've said that there are people and businesses who submitted that although they generally supported the move, they were unsure about how quickly and widely working towards the net zero 2050 goal will affect their respective sectors. How can the Zero Carbon Bill accommodate this when we really need to reduce emissions as quickly as possible?
Well, that of course, is the million-dollar question, which we're working our way through at the moment. And one thing I have to say about the submissions is that, you know, it's good to have a sort of a sense from the public about the overall direction, but actually you also need to listen to the voices of the minority because they do voice very real concerns. And one thing that we've got to do with this is to ensure that we take everyone with us and that we leave no one behind. And what that means is doing our absolute best to ensure that the concerns that are raised by that group are kind of addressed. And so I guess what that means is in terms of how we design the bill, and we are still working through this, is that it's got to be about making sure that there are kind of sufficient safeguards in place, at, you know, that are built in sort of during the course of the process so that people can, you know, that we're regularly reviewing our progress around where we're going. We're looking at what other countries are doing. We're looking at what new technology is emerging. We're looking at what the government can do to support those sectors that probably have to face a harsher transition challenge than others. And I think we've got a real responsibility to do that, because if you kind of just end up sort of going with the majority opinion and, you know, just going hard out like that, then you do leave people behind and you do create more division and you do create winners and losers, and then, you know, you don't actually solve the problem.
So it's about trying to work with everybody to find something, at like almost sort of a happy medium, but in the direction of reducing emissions.
Yeah, that's right. And it does mean that everyone's going to have to compromise a bit. So you saw in those submissions a very strong sense of direction. That's good. But, you know, the people who want, you know, we're just going to need to be aware that not everyone's going to get everything they want out of this process.
So just finally on zero carbon, what is the next step? What will the report mean for the zero carbon bill in New Zealand?
Well, so the submissions report is one of the inputs that we've got. We're also getting advice around science, around the economics, and so on. And we're in a dialogue between the government and the opposition, who kind of representing that voice about, you know, of caution, I guess, and saying, well, you know, yes, we want to build an enduring kind of economic architecture, if you like, for the next 30 years, but let's just make sure that we're going into this with our eyes open and that there are sufficient safeguards in place. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And I'm kind of hoping in the not-too-distant future that we'll be able to say, you know, that we've arrived at a conclusion that the opposition and the government are both going to vote for this, because I think the ideal outcome would be that it's got bipartisan support, because that really sends a strong signal about what we're intending to do for the next 30 years.
So just moving on to Mental Health Awareness Week, which is this week, why is Mental Health Awareness Week so important for New Zealanders? Why do we need to focus on issues surrounding mental health?
Well, I think the reason why Mental Health Awareness Week itself is so important is because there is still a great deal of stigma in New Zealand that's attached to mental health issues, and a lot of people who kind of suffer from those kinds of issues don't feel that they can come forward and talk about them with their family or their friends or their colleagues and so on. And actually, that's the first and most important step, is to be able to have those conversations. So I think having a week where we do shine a light on it, and it is frankly a crisis of fairly epic proportions in New Zealand, that it is appropriate that we do so for the week and kind of try and draw that out and say, hey, look, it's okay. This is a situation a lot of people are in. It's not just you. And here's how you can get some help.
Chloe Swarbrick kicked off the week sort of yesterday by saying that the Green Party is calling for better mental health services in New Zealand. What needs to be changed in New Zealand health services? What can be done better?
Well, so there's actually a government inquiry into mental health services that was kicked off shortly after we came into government, and that's due to report back sometime in the next couple of months. That will give us a really good steer. Chloe's making a particular point actually about the 18 to 25-year-old cohort, which is something that we in the Greens campaigned on before the election, and is important because, you know, that we could, if we're not careful, leave that particular group of young people out of the focus of services. And Chloe spent most of last week touring around 8 different campuses around New Zealand and kind of hearing the stories and the difficulty people have in accessing services. So it is a big focus for this government, and I hope that we'll see some action when that inquiry comes through in the next couple of months.
Why is it likely that the 18 to 25-year-old age sort of group would be left out?
Oh, it's just, the focus, as with all of these things, and appropriately, is towards young people and making sure that they get sort of the best start in life. And when you're in a resource-constrained world and you're kind of choosing about where to allocate budget and so on, one of the risks is that you kind of, you know, target it narrowly end up not paying attention to that particular cohort. And can I also say, the same is true of kind of older adults as well. You know, that we need to make sure that we're addressing mental health issues kind of right across the population.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.